You are listening to Hovel Audio's production of Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. This book is read by Wayne Shepherd. This book is 229 pages long and is divided into 19 chapters. This recording was produced in 2006 by Hovel Audio, which owns the copyright. No portion of this recording may be reproduced for any reason without prior written consent from Hovel Audio. This edition issued by contractual arrangement with Crossway Books, a publishing division of Good News Publishers. Published in English as Disciplines of a Godly Man, copyright 1991 by R. Kent Hughes. All rights reserved. Please visit www.hovelaudio.com and www.christianaudio.com to offer your impressions of this work and to explore additional titles. For my sons, Brian Thomas Hoke, James Jefferson Simpson, Richard Kent Hughes II, and William Carey Hughes. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank my secretary, Mrs. Sharon Fritz, for her care and pride of workmanship in typing the multiple revisions of the manuscript. Mr. Herbert Carlberg for weekly proofreading and many suggested improvements. Mr. George Grant for his expert editing, though busy in far-off England. Mr. Ted Griffin, managing editor of Crossway Books, for his discerning eye, which has made clear the incomprehensible, and for the preparation of the study questions. And my wife, Barbara, who possesses the gracious wisdom to cut through the irrelevant and get to the heart of things with a perpetual James-like question, "So what difference does this make in the way we live?" Introduction. Chapter 1, Discipline for Godliness. Sometime in the early summer before entering the seventh grade, I wandered over from the baseball field and picked up a tennis racket for the first time, and I was hooked. It was not long before I became a 10-year-old tennis bum. My passion for the sport became so intense I would idly hold a tennis ball and just sniff it. The psst and the rubbery fragrance of opening a can of new tennis balls became intoxicating. The whop-whop and the lingering ring of a sweetly hit ball, especially in the quietness of early morning, was to me symphonic. My memories of this and the summer which followed are of blistering black tennis courts, hot feet, salty sweat, long drafts of delicious rubbery tepid water from an empty ball can, the short shadows of midday heading slowly toward the east, followed by the stadium daylight of the court's lights, and the ubiquitous eerie night bats dive-bombing our lobs. That fall, I determined to become a tennis player. I spent my hoarded savings on one of those old, beautifully laminated Davis Imperial tennis rackets, a treasure which I actually took to bed with me. I was disciplined. I played every day after school except during basketball season, and every weekend. When spring came, I biked to the courts where the local high school team practiced and longingly watched until they finally gave in and let me play with them. The next two summers, I took lessons, played some tournaments, and practiced about 6 to 8 hours a day, coming home only when they turned off the lights. And I became good. Good enough, in fact, that as a 12-and-a-half-year-old, 110-pound freshman, I was second man on the varsity tennis team of my large 3,000-student California high school. Not only did I play at a high level, I learned that personal discipline is the indispensable key for accomplishing anything in this life. I have since come to understand even more that it is, in fact, the mother and handmaiden of what we call genius. Examples. Those who have watched Mike Singletary, perennial All-Pro, two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and member of the Super Bowl XXV Dream Team, play and have observed his wide-eyed intensity and his churning, crunching samurai hits, are usually surprised when they meet him. He is not an imposing Hulk. He is barely 6 feet tall and weighs maybe 220. Whence the greatness? Discipline. Mike Singletary is as disciplined a student of the game as any who have ever played it. In his biography, Calling the Shots, he says that in watching game films, he will often run a single play 50 to 60 times and that it takes him 3 hours to watch half a football game, which is only 20 to 30 plays. Because he watches every player, because he mentally knows the opposition's tendency, given the down, distance, hash mark, and time remaining, because he reads the opposition's mind through their stances, he is often